Jesus sends his greetings this morning. Hallelujah. We've already been to his presence, the presence of worship. He's here with us. And I'm sure he's here there with you wherever you are. Listen to this, or you wouldn't be listening. glory, glory. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. As is our custom, we want to bring you a word, a lesson on divine prosperity under the title, Poverty is Not the Will of God. Capital N-O-T. never, ever, as it be. Poverty is not the will of God. Genesis 40, 45. Verse number 11. Joseph talking to his brothers about the plan to move them to Goshen. He says, And there in Goshen will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine. So that thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Oh, not so that, but so that you won't come to poverty. So you won't come to poverty. So, poverty was not the will of Joseph or his siblings, was it? Poverty is not the will of any decent sibling for their fellow siblings. Amen? Poverty is not the will of God of any decent parent. In fact, you don't even have to be decent as a parent. Not to want your child to be poor. Any decent parent. So then, is God a parent? Is he? Is he a decent parent? So why would he want any of his children to be poor? Just simple as that. Amen. Why? Why would he do that? Would you want that for your own children? If you had any? Or simply on neighbors. I don't even want my neighbors to be poor. Because I don't want to live around poverty. Amen. Oh no. I want a nice neighborhood. Everybody there prospering. Hallelujah. But somehow when it comes to, we get to church, I don't know what happens to our brains. We could think it. Too many folks, Christians. Yeah, you might be the will of God. Poverty is piety. Well, I don't want that piety then. You keep it. That's not so anyway. Joseph didn't want his siblings to be poor, but somehow God does. Imagine that. God is kinder, Joseph is kinder and more loving than God is? That's ridiculous. Beyond ridiculous. And yet, folks believe that. Even Christians believe that. Well, it's not true. It's not true. He is a good parent. Oh, glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. So good. You can't say how good he is. Poverty, not his plan at all, for any reason at all, nothing good about it. It kills. All right. In fact, not only is poverty not the will of God of any decent parent, But most parents will spend their last penny, to make sure their child is well. I remember growing up, my mother would you know, I'd have my meal and then sometimes I want part of hers and she would gladly give it to me. Amen. I mean, that's the way parents are. If I have to be hungry for you to be full, let's do that. Amen. Hallelujah. But somehow God is not like that. How absolutely, scripturally idiotic that would be. Makes no sense at all. And thank God it's not so. Woo, glory. Amen. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you. I'm going to go ahead and myself say, Jesus died to make you rich. See, that statement shouldn't be controversial, but it is. It is. For some reason, it is. Well, I'll say it again. Jesus died to make you rich. For all of you who want the Bible and never go in and look at it and study it, Scripture outrightly says it. Let's go over there. Since I brought it up, look at 2 Corinthians. Ooh, glory. Poverty is not the will of God. And I'm so glad about it. Because I've been poor! And I didn't enjoy it. But thank God them days are gone forever. Amen. Forever and ever and ever. How can you say that? Because of the blood. Amen. Woo, not because of the, Federal Reserve, none of that. I don't care what president is in office, does what. I've got Jesus. Woo, glory. And so have you. Amen. You take him. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says right there, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus died to make you rich. There it is. And that's not the only place to say so. Poverty is not the will of God. Not today, not tomorrow, not forever. Heaven is not a poor place. I think some folks think when it says streets of gold, they think it's just an allegory. Because a human man can't conceive of it, right? Well, get ready to be shocked. I won't be because I've been meditating on it. I mean, I'm not suggesting I'm going to know. I'm not, but and you won't be sliding on it either. Woo, Lord, no, we don't want to go there. Woo, I was reading over there. When Jesus was resurrected, with his resurrected body now, they go fishing, you've read that, didn't catch anything, so he just shows up, tells them to cast their net on this side and all that, and I'm going to go to it later, but we'll see. And they catch fish, they had been fishing all night, you remember that? Caught nothing. And so then they bring it offshore, and when they get to the shore, there's already a fire there and fish barbecue. And he eats it with them. So then I thought. And then, of course, you have several places. When he was first resurrected, remember, they gathered, they were afraid because the Pharisees, they just showed up. And he said, handle me. I don't think I'm a ghost. Handle me. Here's, all that. And so then he said, if you don't believe me, give me something to eat. And they gave him something he ate. So I got to thinking, what happened to the thing he ate? did he have to go to the bathroom? See, you might not think like that, but I do. I ask all kind of questions. I'm sitting there thinking, if I eat fish and drink something, I have to go to the bathroom. I got to think, here's what I got to think. I got to think, I think bathrooms never... There's fruit in heaven. There's water in heaven. Well, the answer is there's no waste in heaven. So his body metabolize it like that. Because all that stuff you do in the bathroom is to get rid of waste, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's not waste to begin with, then there's nothing to get rid of. Man, I'm not missing heaven. How about you? Ooh, glory. Okay. Sorry, there's plenty of stuff we don't know about yet. I just thought of it just a couple of days ago. I was sitting there thinking, I thought, when we eat down here, we got out at the point, we got to get rid of it. Oh, my. Okay. So, God hates poverty. He's opposed to it. It is not his will at all. And he's willing to use all his resources. Huh? He has more resources than any parent. And he's more willing than any parent to use those resources to make sure that none of his children is poor. And he has already done it. Bible says in Luke 11:11, Jesus encouraging them to ask, you know, asking you should receive all that. And then he tells them, why are you even wondering? Okay, let's look at it. He says, if ye being evil, being just human, give good things to your children. Well, I just told you that. How much more? We can read later. Luke 11:11. How much more? Not how much less. How much more is he a better parent than you are, than I am? How much more? Not how much less. Poverty is not his will. So God's children, no child of God, should remain poor. Let's put it that way. You may have been born poor because of your parents, but you shouldn't remain poor. Jesus was barely 2 years old when he became wealthy enough to sponsor his parents on the trip to Egypt. God made a way for that. Hallelujah. Not the will of God. Not the will of God. Somebody said, Jesus said he didn't have a place to lay his head. Really? Do we have to? He was just trying to get rid of the... His point was, don't follow me because of what I think I can do. You think I can do for you. Follow me because you love me. Jesus wasn't homeless. You remember that roof that they tore off, right? That was his house. Amen. He had wealthy, well-placed individuals who supported his ministry. Read the Bible. Hallelujah. Besides that, if he wanted something, he could just get out of it anyway. You know? Right? I mean, what is all this? Didn't have a place to lay his head. Amen. Okay, so what's the problem? What's the problem? What is the problem? Here's the problem. The problem is God's children are prodigal children. They have left home with what little bitty inheritance they had. And an overwhelming majority of God's children are not coming back home. Their thinking is, I have made my bed hard, kind of like, you know, they say, and I'm going to lie on it. The prodigal, that's what it is. That's the problem. He left home. There was plenty, more than enough at home. Remember, the place there. God provides for you at a place called there. He left home. Unlike the prodigal son, who did come to himself. Amen. Thought, what foolishness is this? What am I doing here? I better get up and get myself home. You know. At least he did that. Too many Christians have settled for hog slop. The pig pen. They've settled for that. They think, yeah, this must be it, you know. Well, this is how I'll go to heaven to be better. We're supposed to be living in heaven right now. Salvation starts the minute you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Not until you go to heaven. That's just the progression of it. Let me find this. Look at the book of John. Small John. Where are you, John? Now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what will be, but when we'll see him, we'll be as he is. Well, I just quoted it, didn't I? And so salvation starts. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now when we go to heaven, are we the sons of God? Huh? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. It just gets better from here on. We're not waiting for it to get better. It gets better right now. I mean, it's better. It's good now. It just gets better as we go on. Hallelujah. That's the plan. Thank you, Lord. So too many Christians. Too many Christians haven't come to themselves. Look at Luke 15. Luke 15. The prodigal son came to himself. He decided, this is foolish. What am I doing here? You know the story. Luke 15. Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, my. Ooh, when he realized who he was, whose he was, he thought, this is not even, what shall I say? I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm better off being my father's servant than being here. Huh? He came to himself. What would happen if Christians woke up one morning and thought, wait a minute, I'm a child of the King. Ooh, I am a child of the King. And he ain't poor. His streets are made of gold. If I would, I just thought of something. This minister, John Avanzini, back in the day, he was just learning these things. He had this old bit of car. He wouldn't stop. And he got frustrated. So he said, Lord Jesus, if I could help you as easily as you could help me, I would do it. And I'm sure it got better from there. It did. So some thinking, some taking stock of where we are. I said, Lord, thinking, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And he is not poor. So what's going on? What? See, start thinking like that, and now you're on the road to recovery from poverty. Amen. I know, because I walked that road. I'll show you before I say it again. I'm going to keep saying, because the devil should never have put me in that place. He's going to hear about it from now on to eternity. I lived in the ghetto. But oh, I got out of the ghetto. Amen. And I ain't going back to the ghetto. Most of them was thinking like this. Hey, I'm a child of the King. This is not right. Something's wrong. Huh? And when you start thinking like that, guess what? He's going to start telling you. Step one, step two. Huh? Before you know it, somebody showed up and said, and they too agreed that we were not supposed to be in that ghetto. They agreed and decided, I'm gonna take you out. I said, help yourself. So he paid for a whole year's rent.
and mowed us back
into the camp on campus.
The whole year, I thought, glory to God. Now, things are moving in the right direction. And they kept moving that direction and being moved with sins. Haven't stopped moving yet either. But it comes, it starts when you come to yourself. When you realize who you are. Amen.
That's the way out of poverty. That's how you have to start thinking. This is not right. It shouldn't be this way. And don't let the devil start getting you to blame the white man and the black man and all that. Just look to him. It may be all of their fault, but that won't take you anywhere. That won't do any good for you. The government can't help you too much either. It can help some, you know. So we went over there in the ghetto, this government helped. That was good. I just got to take it. It was either that or be on the streets. Ooh, glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And then one day, talk about coming to yourself. Hey, I'm out in Marshall housing and family, you know, wife, children. And I'm thinking, I can't work this. I don't have any papers to go work. I had a bachelor's degree, but I couldn't go out and get a job because I didn't have any papers. So I borrowed a friend's apartment, went in there fasting and praying. See, that's coming to yourself. I'm like, Lord. So the law says I can't go out there and get a job. And what if the law said I couldn't read my Bible? What would you expect me to do? See, you see what I'm talking about? I'm pleading my case before him now. And so you know, a couple times, I did that two, three times. And
I had a job on campus, but you know what? I mean, this is back in the day of $3.35 an hour, man.
What are you gonna do with that? You're glad to get it, but you know. So I see a sign, some college thing, tree work. This is on campus now, so I'm like, I can take that, can I, Lord? So I show up, and make long story short, this is the same guy who shortly from there pays to move us out of that ghetto. Huh? You see how God worked? Oh yeah, God worked. Because I came to myself like, this is not right, Lord. So the prodigal came to himself. And he went home. And when he got home, woo, abundance was waiting on him. Hallelujah. So, you got to come to yourself. And then you have to ask. Luke 11:9. Look at verse 9. And when he had found it, called him in friends and let's see. Where am I going? Where am I? Luke 11:11. I'm on 15. 11:9. Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Huh? After you ask. Somebody say, yeah, but I have to ask. But I haven't received. Are you calling Jesus a liar? Are you calling him a liar? No, I'm not. But I don't get. Well, I'm good. I'm glad. I'm here to tell you how come. Because you don't just you don't yet qualify. That's why. It's not just asking, huh? It's asking in faith. Huh? Not just asking. Hallelujah. Asking in faith. Look at the book of James. Look at the book of James. So are you listening? I'm trying to tell you how to get out of poverty, because poverty is not the will of God. Absolutely not. Anybody that told you that lied to you. Don't mind telling you that. They may have been sincere, but what they told you is not so. Not so. James chapter 1. Look at verse 5. If any one of you lack wisdom, or lack peace, or lacks joy, or lacks a wife, or a husband, or lacks anything, huh? Let him ask in faith. See that? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Ooh. hey, if any man lacks money too, give it to man liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith. Amen. It's not just asking. Asking in faith. What does that mean? Well, keep reading. Nothing wavering. When your mind goes to yourself, no, I believe I receive. Jesus didn't lie about it. I believe I receive. Not wavering, for he that wavers, it's like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything. In other words, you're asking, isn't going to work because you're not asking in faith and you're wavering. That this is the path. You got to be resolute. Believe you receive and don't change it. Ask in faith. And don't waver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I shouldn't go there. All right. Glory to God. So, you say, I asked, but I haven't received. Have you asked in faith? Asking in faith is asking according to the Word, according to the Bible, including, this is a part of asking. So, asking is not just what you say, but what you do, including what the Word says for you to do about the situation. If you want peace, then you have to cast your care on Him. You can't ask for peace, believe you receive peace, and then keep worrying about the situation. You won't get peace if you do that. Some people think when they ask, it's just going to be dumped on them, and that's it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you want God to prosper you, I won't get up off your butt and go find a job. It won't happen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I was out hunting a job that I could do when I met that man. Jesus had already planned. And he was a cousin of the Shah of Iran. So, he let me in all right. Glory to God forever. He's in heaven now. Amen. And I'm asking faith, nothing wavering. To ask includes doing what the Word says to do. And when it comes to finances, the Word says, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. So you want to prosper and get out of poverty, you have to give. But I don't have much to begin with. Well, you're going to have to give from what you have. The prophet told the widow woman, who said, I don't have much flour. He said, make a cake for me first. That is, give to God first from the whatever little you got. Yeah, but I'm not. Well, you're not ready to prosper. Go ahead and staple. Amen. Go ahead and staple. Stay on government welfare and all that and see how far it takes you. Thank God for it. Like I said, I was on it. But oh, I thank God I'm not on it anymore. I'm trying to tell you, here's the process. Here's the process. Give. And it shall be given to you again. God be willing to do that. Now, there are two major ways of biblical giving. Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. So, start by tithing. And then add offerings as it leads you. What's the tithe? The tithe is a tenth. I'd be willing to do that. I guarantee you, if you start tithing today, you're not going to stay poor. Don't take my word for it, take his word for it. But that's the process. I'm trying to tell you, poverty is not God's will. If you're poor, here's how to get out. I have walked that walk. Glory to God. Tithe and offerings. The problem is most people start and end with offerings. They never, Christians now, never tithe. They give offerings, they never tithe. Remember now, an offering is you making an offer, right? Which implies that the receiver might not take your offer. I let that sink in. The church will, of course. Because we don't know. Between you and God, we don't know what's going on. The church should take it. But you start with the tithe. You don't start with an offering. You start with the tithe. And then add offerings as it leads you. Too many Christians start and stop with an offering. But here's how the Lord put it to me. If you let me borrow your Range Rover, and I drove it, and then I decided I liked it so much that I'm going to return my bicycle to you in the, in the place of the Range Rover, are you supposed to be happy about that and keep it while I keep your Range Rover? Give you a bicycle? Did you get that? That's what people do, God. God helps finances to come their way. And instead of restoring his part to him, they decide they're going to keep it. But they're going to give him an offering. Are you getting this? So that's like keeping the Range Rover and giving God a bicycle. He's supposed to be happy with that. If you're a Christian and you're poor, you've been poor or remain poor, I'm trying to tell you how come. To get out of it. Look at Leviticus 27. Let me show you. Oh, Jesus, what the tithe is. I didn't tell you to send it to turn it to me, so don't get hot and puffy about it. I didn't say that. Unless God tells you to. Trying to help you. Leviticus chapter 27. Don't mess with God's Range Rover. Return it to him. You wouldn't want anybody keeping your Range Rover bringing you their bicycle. That's what we do, God. Look at verse number 30. And all the tithe of the land. Whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. And it is holy unto the Lord. It means it's separated, segregated, set apart for him. It belongs to him. It's not yours. No wonder in Malachi he says you are a thief if you take it. Robber. Isn't that what he's saying? Isn't that what he's saying? Do you want us to read it? Go to it. That's what I thought it. He said you are robbing me. It's mine. Don't keep it. Just because I allowed you to handle it doesn't mean you ought to keep it. Trying to help you. Like I said, I walk this road. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? That's even worse than stealing, isn't it? Rubbish, you take it by force. Stealing means you take it, cunningly. Maybe they're not looking, you kind of slip and take it. Rob means in your face. Give me your wallet or give me your purse or I'm going to shoot you. That's robbing. God says that's what you're doing. And they said, how, Lord? Tell us and we'll quit. And then he explained it. So over here, when they say it is the Lord, it's separated, it's holy to the Lord, it's not playing. It belongs to him. It's his. And so if you're keeping his Range Rover and bringing him a bicycle, Don't be surprised that things are not working. Shouldn't be working. You know, if you didn't give General Motors that money you promised to give them every month for that truck you drive, they wouldn't be happy either. And after a while, guess what? They'll come take it. I know. I've had one or two. I'm trying to say I have walked this road. Hallelujah. And I know it works. Everybody who tithes knows it works. Everybody. No exceptions. Because it's the law of God. So here's your chance to get out of poverty. Amen.
Amen.
God the Father said to tithe, which is ready. Malachi 3:10. He said it. Jesus said to tithe. People said, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Matthew 23:23, he said, you ought to tithe. You ought to do it. Read it. If you haven't read it before, read it for yourself. In fact, well, let's go and read it. I saw my note here. Matthew 23:23, God the Father said to tithe in the book of Malachi. Jesus said to tithe in Matthew 23:23. He says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done and not leave the tithe undone. Jesus hardly ever commended the Pharisees for anything else. But he commended him that. So it's good that you're doing that. Don't leave these others. Jesus said to tithe. And so did Paul. This is one that gets people that. Paul said it? Because folks said, well, if tithing was New Testament, surely Paul would talk about it. He did! He did. He was a little coy about it, but he did. I think, you know, there's a debate. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 7. There's a debate whether Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And I was wondering yesterday when I was studying this, maybe that's why there's a debate. Because see, if Paul didn't write the book of Hebrews, then what the book of Hebrews says about the tithe is not what Paul said. Therefore, we don't have to do it. Maybe that's it. Hebrews chapter 7, you can read it for yourself. Talk about the tithe. Abraham tithe. Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at, you can read in that chapter. Look at verse 7. Hebrews 7:7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here where we are, men that die receive tithes. Ministers receive tithe on behalf of God. He says, but there where he is, Jesus receives them. So if Jesus is receiving them, that means you should be giving it to him, doesn't it? Are you going to let him stretch his hand and his hand's empty? If he's receiving tithes, you should be giving them, right? But there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Then goes on talking about Levi and so on. There's no question. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm trying to tell you, if you're a poor believer, this is your way out. This is your way from out of poor house. I took it and I got out. So can you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Discussing the way it starts this. Am I not an apostle? Verse 1. Am I not free? Has Jesus our Lord? Aren't you my work in the Lord? If I'm not an apostle to anybody else, I'm an apostle to you. What is all this I'm hearing from some among you? And it talks about all that. It talks about supporting the ministry, really. Read all that. look at verse number 8. Am I saying this just as a man? Doesn't the law say it? Okay? For it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth on the corn. Spiritual people who are treading the corn of the spiritually should be supported, as you were saying. Did he say this about the oxen? Huh? Didn't it say verse 10? For our sakes? For our sakes? No doubt this is written. That he that ploweth, talking about spiritual ploughing, should plough in hope. And so forth. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? Yeah, talk about money. And it comes out here and makes a direct comparison. Look at verse number 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things, talking about the Levites and so forth, that they lived of the things of the temple? What things is he talking about? The offerings, the tithes. That's what it's talking about. Don't tell me Paul didn't teach it. And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. Even so, huh? Just like it was then, so it is now that God has ordained that they which preach the gospel should be likewise supported. That's what he's saying. So if it's important teaching on the time, you are completely mistaken. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, two times when you should not listen to someone who tells you that the tithe is Old Testament. Huh? Number one, if they are doing well financially, they've already got their part. Huh? Number two, if they are not doing well financially, there ain't no place to give you any financial advice. Amen. It is emphatically not God's will that any of his children be poor. You cannot overemphasize that. Cannot. And tithing is your ticket out of poverty. Huh? You hear me? Tithing is your ticket out. If you don't want to do it, fine. Don't you dare say nobody told me how to get out. I'm telling you right now. Like I said, I've done it. I know it works. I dare you to put God to the test. And I didn't say it. He did. That's one of the things people miss about Malachi. He said, put me to the test. Put me to the test. See if this is not so. I dare you to put God to the test. I did, my family and I did, and we came out on top. Glory to God. We're not all as sort of along that we're going to be. We're still moving in the right direction, though. Hallelujah. Out of the poorhouse, I never will I go back because of the blood. I know too much. Thank you, Lord. I'll never be back there. Never, 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 never. Don't care what happens. We had the Great Depression. The Depression came over. Don't care what happens. And if you're a believer, that ought to be your stance. Because he's Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He looks ahead, goes ahead of you, has gone ahead of you, made provision for every stage of life. Blessed be God forever. It's not a surprise. Don't may come along. The psalmist says, I've been young, I've been old, I've never seen the day when the righteous were forsaken or their seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, I can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you something, you can't afford not to tithe. Huh? You can't afford not to tithe. Amen.
Amen.
Again, I'm not saying you send it to me. I didn't say that. Okay? Let God direct you where you put it. But you have to do it. If you're trying to get... here's something else. Right? If you gave me $1 billion, offered me $1 billion on condition that I not tithe on it, you know what I would say? Keep your billion. Keep it. Keep it. That's how convinced I am about this. You know why? Because your $1 billion can't do for me as much as tithing can. Mm-hmm. Putting God first. Letting him know. I know that everything I got came from you. It's not just talk. That's the problem. Some folk, they talk. The Lord bless me. But when are you going to bless him? No, you didn't bless him. You bless yourself. Lots of folk blessing themselves talking about the Lord bless me. But on the time that you probably bless yourself. That wasn't part of my notes, but it's also, anyway. The tithe does a lot more for, because see, if something ever came along, some kind of disease came along, that money couldn't heal, ooh, glory, the Lord of the tithe is there for me. See, this goes way beyond money. Goes way beyond money. It's putting him first. Because you know what? Money is where our rubber hits the road, is it not? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when you put him first in that area, thank you, Lord. So, that's the way out. If you're poor as a Christian, it's not God's will. Well, how come if it's not God's will, I love the Lord. How come I'm poor? Well, I just showed you. So, where are you in there? If you're a tither, you have to lean on it. You tell poverty, I'm a tither. I'm blessed. The devourers rebuke on my behalf. So again, you don't just start and just forget it. Huh? Don't waver. And the Lord of the tithe is not a liar. It's not a man that he should lie. Okay. That's a lot more than what I planned to, but it's also Lord. It's also. Ooh, glory. You have to change gears here. Stay hooked on, what's the word? Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll get back in a minute. Amen.